life goals? What's the end result? So that once you get into fellowship, you're supposed to be looking at that and not be looking at the wrong thing. That's one of the reasons these people get distracted. Number one is succession, ultimately. So when that man is out, there will not be leadership gap on the earth. The purpose of God does not vanish to heaven. Does not vanish to heaven. Number two is the mantle, that power, that thing that makes that thing work, that you grab it. It is not to start looking at the car the man drive or his suit, start comparing with his style. It's to remember that the ones that followed Jesus that reached Pentecost collected it. Judas was no more there. It's the money thing that destroyed them. Number three is the wisdom and the skills. If reading textbooks can just give you the thing, why should you go to medical school? Why do you have to go to school to learn how to fly aircraft? Stay now, buy the biggest textbook and read everything about aircraft and become a pilot. Just load your child with all the textbooks of medicine. Let him become a doctor. If tapes alone and books alone can do it, We heard him say, follow me. That's where the making of leaders, leadership happens. So what happens? Skills, wisdom is transferred so that you don't repeat mistakes and make all the... Even some of the mistakes of the leader, when you are on closer and you see it, it's not for you to criticize him. It's for you to learn what not to do. Actually, if by observing Saul, David knew some things that he should not try. Did you see when he was saying, take not your spirit? Because he saw that God could take it from a leader. Okay, let me show you something now. Let me show you. Why is it that they say Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived? In a sense, you are saying he was wiser than David. He was not greater than David, but he did more exploits in certain areas, not in war, not in order, than David. Jesus said we can do greater works. He doesn't say we are greater than him. So where was the foundation of Solomon's wisdom laid? Was it when the Holy God now told him, I'll give you wisdom? No. Proverbs chapter, I think it's chapter 4 from verse 1. Let me see if it's that place, you know. My son, hear ye children. This is Solomon talking. So he's about to transfer something he got, and he's telling us how he got it. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Now watch the next verse. For I was my father's what? Tender and only beloved in the sight of my... Why the Absaloms are trying to take over, collect power ahead of time? Solomon was understudying David. Now watch verse 4. He taught me also and said to me, let thy heart retain my... Do you see what he's passing now? He's mentoring the next generation and he's saying, this is what David taught me. And he told me, keep my commandments and what? Look at the next verse. It was David that told him, get wisdom. So when God gave him that option, how did he know what to ask? Look at what David told him. He said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither declare from the words of my man. Verse 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7. Now watch. Wisdom is what? Wisdom is the principle. It's not the words of Solomon. It's the words of David. That's what he told him. That's the capital you need for your destiny. So when God gave him opportunity, you know what the guy asks. So because he didn't follow where, you're going to repeat a lot of mistakes, make so many, and at the end of the day, undermine your calling. You undermine it. Look at how Moses was struggling in administration until the father-in-law. And that's the man he served for 40 years. He was looking after his sheep. came there just in one session. He corrected his structure and administration and ministry. That would have killed him before his time. The fourth goal of followership is something that is so huge. So huge. And the part of the country where I'm from, where people don't want to, everybody want to break away, starting, this is the disaster. What has caused so much disaster is character formation. Now, many of you are founders of ministry, leaders of ministry. You're sleeping around with your girls. You don't have financial integrity. You jumped away from followership. And now you can't cure your leprosy. It's the leader. That time he thought you were getting angry. He was correcting his character. And that is the foundation for your greatness. That is the foundation that will carry everything you are going to build. Your building, your anointing, your influence, your all of those things. And now you have a building without foundation. Now the people you're producing are trying to build like that again. They want skyscrapers with no foundation. Because character is digging deep. It's digging into the ground. Digging in. Till you have that substructure that will carry everything. That's what has saved me. This thing. I'm so grateful today. That's what has saved me. What you meet when you start launching a ministry. And the last goal is now your leadership. Finally, that whole thing is grooming you for leadership. So once you are in followership, that is leadership in the making. That is not textbook leadership. It's not classroom leadership. Followership is leadership in its formative years. Now, just look at our children. Pastor Victor has Joshua. I have a Joshua in my. How long does God place them under our care? I want you to watch followership now. Because a day is coming, it will be leave father and mother and be joined to your wife and you become, and a new family starts. Yeah, though father-son relationship is eternal, but there is a time of, but how long did he put them? 18 years in some places. 25 years in some, depending on. So how long? 30 years. How long for Jesus? You remember at 12 when he tried to, actually he had to go and submit to his parents. He had a lot of things. All these ministers, his minister has 7. Forget it. It doesn't work. I have 2 that I used to invite. That one that was 6 years that was preaching, I won't call his name. For some of you have seen. Once he hormone started, he turned a teenager. Girls destroyed him, then other things. 3 major vices that were terrible destroyed the guy. Last time I saw him, he was carcass. He was asking me to minister deliverance. He's been bound by a series of issues. Because that's the time he should be, they should have made him go and obey his parents like Jesus. Go to school. Get all that. Then I'm not saying you can't have small time to share in children's church, but that's not the time to be traveling around the world. Because now that you are 30 to travel the world, you are no more a minister. And that's the same thing that is happening now. We have a lot of teenage pastors, teenage pregnancies, teenage bishops, teenage general overseers, and not just teenage ones. We have baby general overseers, baby bishops, baby apostles all over the place, poo-pooing in the body of Christ, messing up pulpit, messing up. And unbelievers can see the nakedness today's church. Run out. If you run out in first year in medical school, can you practice medicine? Would they arrest you? I just give you an introduction. In school of piloting, you take off. I don't have time. I need to fly this thing. Who will enter your plane? Won't you be dead? And that's how you are ruining lives because of this. So now I'm going to give you 12 back doors that teaching on followership covers. You hear about church that there's a big front door and there's a back door that needs to be closed. Let me now give you 12 back doors. It is this teaching and the application of the skills that covers it. Number one is your own self. There is a back door of self-deception and self-destruction, where the lack of humility, lack of character, lack of integrity and all of that is going to blow you. It doesn't matter how much anointing you carry. It's going to mess you up. So, in your own personal life, find somebody you submit to. I don't care who you are. I say I don't care who you are. I don't care what title you are going by now. You know, it's amazing that after Bishop Oyedepo submitted to Papa Idahosa, and Papa Idahosa finally died, at that level of success, he still carried himself and went to Pastor Adeboye to put on that. Headless heads will not return back from the battlefront to be cut off. There is no covering over you. You're a building without a roof. You know, recently, he was making a trip and he's going to fly across the Mediterranean Sea, Cyprus, and with the private jet. And that morning, Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Adeboye calls him and said, and then come, he said, wait until I come. And he got to the house, he prays for me, he said, dead. He said, but the Lord has, you see, there is a covering on the man. And then, this with that. And he goes, on their way back, the plane engine fell. Pilot said, first engine has gone off. And guess where? On top of the Mediterranean Sea. At least Nigerians, Africans are crossing to go to Europe and they are dying there. But now somebody is about to go on air. And why they are doing it, the second engine goes off. And now there is nothing to fly with. He said, he just told the man, find any nearest airport and see if you can land. Can you glide? How do you do that without engine? He said he relaxed his chair and slept. I said, because the man came in the morning and prayed that. So how can I still die here? It's either, and they don't, both the pilot and he, nobody has been able to explain how that plane was able to fly to the nearest airport. Because you don't fly when you don't have engine, you start falling. And landed smoothly. People don't know anything. People don't know what this thing. So the first thing is yourself. Put a roof over your head. You need somebody to submit to. You run away from it. You have started ministry. Now you have to run back to it. That's part of what I did with myself. Can you imagine at 12, Jesus has already appeared to me. That's what started my... And then I started preaching, president of Student Christian Fellowship all through my secondary school. Then moved to university, leadership. Now, come out. I had to forget all this thing. I go and... Number two, there is a back door. If he is not, they are not taught this and they are not groomed this, Satan will go and harness that. Is your wife. I don't care. All these celebrity women of God you are creating is problem. They have to be taught this and study and they will understand it. That is where Satan brought Adam down from. That is where most of the major issues that are going are coming from. To families. And then we are creating celebrity women of God. So what do we have now? We are having the same rate of divorce as the entertainers. Because it's all Babylon. You're not supposed to have two different ministries. You're supposed to have a ministry complementing the other. Remember that one of the purpose of followership is to complement the weaknesses of your leader. You're not called there to criticize his weaknesses. His weaknesses is opportunity for you to have add something, add value. Hello. The purpose of followership is to complement, not to compete with your leader. You see him, he's so strong in healing, so powerful, but weak in administration. You bring that to, that's part of what you are serving, helping to. But when you go, you start, can you imagine? The man doesn't know how to administer. You start talking, you destroy yourself. You are brought close so you can see that area of relevance and add value in that place. That's what is going on in marriage. In marriage is not to create two different things. It's to create two things that complement. It's one thing, but in two parts. A tire doesn't have a different ministry. His ministry is to hook up with that car. Because the car will not be rolling and moving smooth. It will be dragging. It's like head and neck. But now we create two different things and launch two. And then he pulls them apart and tears the neck from the head. That's what is going on. It's Babylon model. It's Jezebel. And the husband, like the pastor, may even be a quiet pastor, teacher. Maybe it's the wife that is evangelistic, and you can do crusade feast stadium. It doesn't mean anything. You are just allowed to do the part where he is. That's how it is. And what a wife is to the husband is what we are to Jesus now. Okay. Let me tell you people something about Jesus and the work he did. Put up Colossians, where Paul said, I make up in my body what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for his body. I said, oh my God, Paul, are you crazy? I think it's, is it 124? Check. Colossians. I said, Paul, are you crazy? The finished work of Christ is finished. The man said it's finished. You said some things are lacking. Who may rejoice in my suffering for you. He's talking to Colossian church. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. Okay, we'll read another translation. That behind is things lacking. Things Jesus didn't do. In the afflictions of Christ, on the sufferings of Christ, for his body. I'm glad that I suffer for you in my body. For I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. Go back to the other one. Go back to the King James. I just want to show them. Now you rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, I said, Lord, this is crazy verse in the Bible. What is the meaning? And I said, listen, the finished work of Christ is complete. It's finished. There's nothing you can add to it. When he said it's finished, it's finished. He said, but there is something. There is an unfinished work of Christ. I said, eh? He said, there is a finished work of Christ and the unfinished work of Christ. Every one of you write it down. I'm going to show you what the unfinished work of Christ is. The unfinished work of Christ is now the job of world evangelization or discipling the nations. You have died, but the debt is not saving anybody until somebody goes to tell them. And you finish dying, rose, and vanish to heaven. You are not traveling around telling them. Now you have gone to heaven and you sat down. How will this thing that you suffered and labored for be spread? People are still dying, going to hell, yet the solution is available. How do we get it to them? That's where his bride now has a ministry. If God finishes everything, then he made us his image, we'll be lazy in eternity. Hello? Do you know that there is an unfinished work of creation, that God did not create everything, yet creation was finished? The unfinished work, God completed creation and rested, said everything was good. But the unfinished work of creation is that God makes trees, he doesn't make chairs and furniture. God makes curtains. He doesn't make shirts. The guys were running around naked. Thank God they were covered by the glory. God makes gold or he doesn't make jewelries and trinkets. Not that he can't, but he didn't. The reason is that he has made us in his image. We have to have something to contribute. Hey. If Jesus won the whole world, then there will be no crown for you. We will only be citizens. We can't rule with him. We won't have power with him. Hello! Look at this in the lab. One person, Ebola is killing people like what happened in Africa. And a group of scientists research, risk their life, do all that, and they finally find a cure. And some of them probably died in the course of doing that research. Because even when they cure, they had to test it with people and be sure that it's working. And somebody even lost his life and all that. But finally, the cure has been produced. But people are still dying. Because there is another work. And that work is to now go and educate the communities and let them know there is cure for Ebola. Educate them on, first of all, how not to get it. But even when they get it, that there is cure. And not just to educate them, to administer that drug to everyone that has it and get themselves. That is now the role of the church. The role of Jesus is the one that paid the price, dealt with sin, defeated Satan, conquered evil, and rose again. But now his wife has a role. But now they don't have two separate ministries. It's the same mandate. Our part is to fill up what is lacking. That's why there is a fellowship of his suffering. What is this fellowship of his suffering? It might cost me that I won't be the CEO I wanted to be. Just so I can go and bomb my life for that village. It might cost me that I might not be as wealthy as I wanted to be. I have access to wealth. But I take away 80% of that money, use it to advance mission. It might be that I studied, I'm a professor. I could be sitting in the university teaching. But I chose to go and born. It's called incarnational lifestyle. Incarnation is that the man was a prince born in glory, the only begotten son of God, living in paradise. But he chose to come down here where the problems are, lived here among us, and lay down his life for us. That's what, when I pay whatever price, it might be 50% of my income. I could have built a big mansion, lived in a big, I decided to, so that I can see the Great Commission go. Maybe my children should have gone to Harvard. I choose to put them in a lesser school, use the extra money to finance mission. Whatever the suffering, whatever is the price I pay, not to go and die again on the cross, but to help get that message to the world that is dying. That is what Jesus will reward me. When he said, we suffer with him, we will reign with him. You are giving your money, you are complaining, you don't understand. He gave his life. You have to give something. If the kingdom does not cost you anything, you did not discover it. I doubt if you are going to heaven. Everybody that finds that kingdom sells what he has to buy, to make investment. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You're not paying any price. I doubt if you have genuinely saved. Maybe there's something. Somebody sold some fake gospel to you. Don't understand what we are doing here. Is that not what he said? Take up your cross. You have to your own price to pay. He has paid his own. You have to pay. There's a cross, finished work of Jesus on the cross. There's a cross of the believer to carry. There's dying to self. But he died for us. There's also dying to self to follow him. So now, what's the mission of the church? A different thing for breakthrough. Church exists so that we can get rich. What's the mission of the church? The mission of the master. To finish what he started. That's the same thing with the wife. Is the man's helpmate. The expression might be different from how the husband, because she, her own might be administration. Why you are the one on the, but whatever is the lacking thing, they complement so he becomes whole. Hello. It might be another ministry. Maybe you, for example, now, if you watch Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland, why Kenneth Copeland is a great teacher, flows, is Gloria that is operating in the gifts of healing. It's not for you to go now and become another. The same ministry. launch Gloria Copeland Ministry. Next thing, the place have turned into two. Because nobody can talk to you again. That's why God brings you to a leader. So you can fill up what is lacking. You will see it. But what most people now do, when they see it, they turn it into murmuring, complaint, gossiping. But then God brought you there to fill it. Okay, I said there are doors to close. Even if it's seven, I can give you. Close the door of no leadership first in your own life. Because that's an open door for Satan. You have nobody you submit. Then you have a big problem. You have a very big problem. The enemy can eat you like breakfast. You will have moral problems, character problems, a lot of vices. Finally, it will take care of you if you don't take care of it. If you don't make yourself accountable to somebody, you are in a mess. Don't care what title you wear. So second is your spouse, because the devil doesn't come through the front door. He always goes through the back door. He didn't come to challenge Adam. He just left him alone. He's the man that has dominion, authority. He just went through the. He didn't come to challenge Jesus. They had their own time in the wilderness. He just went through Peter. And went through Judas. That's the principle. When God talks, he talks to the leader. When the devil does, he goes to the subordinate. Because that's what he does. You know, for example, now, you are in Redeem ministry. And the Lord is talking to you about Redeem. It's not the Lord, it's Satan. When the Holy Spirit talks to you, he will talk to you about your personal life. If you have a role given to you, maybe a cell, he can talk to you about that cell. He can talk to you about your family. But if he starts talking to you about Redeem, it's Satan. You have no business. God talks to the head. Look at the functions of the head. Eyes, vision, nose, discernment, mouth. This is where communication is. The head. See, hearing is in the head. Then they left the rest of the functions to the body. Decision, brain, is in the head. It is now the toe that is now decision maker. Satan has come in. Okay. So, your wife, taught your children. If they are not taught this, that's where the devil will go and enter. It will enter there. And for some of us, it will now use that to pay you for all the things you did to him. Number four, your pastors, because we're in a spiritual, you are ministers. The pastors you are raising, but we say you are leaders. Because a leader is giving a team of leaders. Your leaders. That's where he will go in. He will enter some. Judas, Peter, this one. If you teach them this, you kill many demons. And that's why many ministries, especially in the eastern part of the country, are not doing well. They don't teach followership. Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody. Call it leadership, leader-centric culture. That's what. At least our Southwest do a better job than. But the madness is everywhere now. Because they said their last days is an era of rebellion. He says the spirit of lawlessness that is going to be prevailing. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of lawlessness. So you see how social media attacking fathers, attacking. Stay away from such things for your good. Your leaders. Then your intercessors. Get a group of people praying. Don't teach them this. Satan will enter there. I'm giving you guarantees. Get them, he will enter there. Your administrators. Yeah, sometimes they say your managers, you know, overseers. Yeah? Your cell leaders. But all of these ones are wonderful. Your worshippers and their worship leaders. Oh, he will enter. Talents. Who are these? They don't appreciate me here. These are, you know. And And some will go sell out to the devil completely, become another. You know how many of them we have lost? Because what the devil did in heaven, that's what he's doing on earth. But this is the group I want to emphasize. They are as deadly as training your wife and children. These ones are your armor bearers. For some reason, because they are given access, because of their services, your PAs, your secretaries, your special assistants, and certain other whatever, your driver, your what, they are given close access. So they're able to see nakedness. They see what Ham was able to see. Ham was only able to see that because he was born in that house, his father's house. But he saw how he handled it and he destroyed himself and his generation. Now, some of these ones that are giving close access, that come on a close range, if you don't train them, that's where Satan will be living. The reason you are given opportunity to see your leader's nakedness is so you can cover it. You go and uncover it for the rest of your life. You will be a naked man. Even God can't cover you. Now, there is another group that is extremely sensitive. You have to train them. And I'm going to give you a secret. Create ministries and structure so that periodically you have, even if it's once in a month you meet with this, is your financiers and covenant partners. Oh, Satan watches. The ministry is making him power. He's going to look for the financial base and go there and hit it and attack it and cut it off. If you don't have ministries towards them, so that's why you see some ministries, they have partnership conferences, they have periodically. I don't care if there are only three people, that you're a major whatever, meet once in a month, and you come and minister to them, and you have to teach them. I can stop so we can do something. Then, but ultimately, one group that if you must train with this is your members, your congregation. If you don't, that's how the up front door will be bringing people, back door will be vanishing. And then what Satan succeeded in doing is creating a lot of Christians that are not disciples, that are not raised properly, that are, you know, street children, vagabonds in the kingdom, fatherless children. Okay, let me see if you can get up to 12 skills. I need some people to come, but I'm going to mention some. The principles and skills of leadership. Let me just mention like 12. They have been mentioned, but some other ones are not mentioned. For example, the principle of trust. Yeah. For example, the principle of prayer. You have to be praying for your leader. It's part of the skill of followership. The principle of number three, the principle of focus. Now, if I want to write a book for the secular world, I might not put prayer. I will now pray wishing your leader well. You want him to succeed. And that is what we put you know, sometimes we change languages depending on who we are communicating to. There is a principle of submission. I'll get some people here now with chairs, you know. There is a principle of focus. I don't know if we have dealt with that. There is a principle of honor. Honor. If you want to reach those goals we talked about, you can even do more exploits than him. Operate at there are principles. There is a principle of meekness, and this means have the right attitude to training, to be teachable, be correctable, be moldable. Humble yourself. There's a principle of self-denial. Followership and selfish ambition does not work together. lay it down so you can get what you need, and every other thing will follow it. It's a principle of patience. This thing requires time. No, daddy, I'm 9 years old. I want to marry. I'm tired of this house. And I found a boyfriend in school. I need to leave. And if a small poverty has started, something is showing on the chest. I'm tired. It's either you guys agree with the guy, or I'll leave. I'll run away myself. The principle of covering. That's covered the weakness and the nakedness of your leader. Many scriptural verses warn against uncovering your father's nakedness. The principle of complementation. Bring what is missing and fill up that gap that is lacking. Don't compete. Don't start looking for the limelight and all that. The principle of defense. Just like children are weapons of war. You remember, the man that has many of them will speak with the enemy at the gate. When God gives it for you, it's to train, give you an army. It's an army that God gave to the leader by giving him followers. An army. On the part of the leader, he has to equip them and arm them. But on the part of them, they need to know that they have to fight their leader's battles. David killed Goliath because he killed Saul's Goliath. But later he found out that he has removed part of his, what would have killed him. Because Goliath had five brothers, or four extra to make him five, whichever way. He has just reduced his own problem. Because the day he mounted leadership, all the remaining giants came after him. If he had killed all of them, then he would have solved his future problem. Kill your leader's enemies. I don't mean go and kill human beings. So but when Peter took that knife and cut off somebody's head, Jesus did not rebuke him. He didn't say you are going to hell. He only said, if you do this, then how do we fulfill what the Father has asked us to do? Put your sword back. He didn't say throw away your sword. He did not say that. He said put it back. Because at one time he was the one that instructed him to buy it. He said, anyone who has no sword, sell your shoe to get one. In other words, in fellowship, you must be ready to defend the mandate. David's men said to him at one time, you won't go out again with us, lest you quench the light of Israel. Another thing they said, your head is worth more than 10,000 of us. Another thing they said, everybody is equal. You don't know anything. Equal in creation, not equal in function. Anyway, the principle of sensitivity. And it's not just sensitivity to God, so I know my leader is going like when he was talking. No, sensitivity to your leader. When he makes sign, you can pick what he needs. You preempt them sometimes. You don't need to. Dr. Kurt will be speaking this evening, and I came with him from the U.S. My job is to serve him, or maybe you are assigned to him here. I need to iron 3 suits. Iron this and iron this, because I don't know the one he will want to. Preempt the needs and put solution around the corner. Let me even bring this extra thing in case he needs it. If he doesn't need it, no problem. And then he turns, where is my... He said, sorry, sir. You know what some people do? For example, you are serving a leader, you come. He finishes, and he's gisting, and he's going to the car. His Bibles are still left. His phone is still there. And then he gets some to realize that his phone, but there is a somebody serving him. And where is my phone? He said, sorry, sir, we left it in church. You are a fool. That's how God marks who to finish off from program. That's also where he marks those he's going to promote those. Because if you can be sensitive to a man, you see, how can you be sensitive to God? He does. You remember what happened when David met Saul sleeping? Saul was pursuing him. And whatever, he came, cut off some portion of his and went up. David now woke him up, but he didn't insult him. He started talking about his armor bearer. He said, that guy deserves death. So you left your master. If your master is sleeping, you slept off too. He says, see your skirt. I came there and caught it. If I wanted to kill you, like they were lying to you, see. The real dangerous person in your life is this guy. See,